This afternoon, we're going to be talking about the topic of vision. Now, there's a couple of different kinds of vision that we're not going to be talking about this morning. I thought it's kind of funny. We're not going to be talking about visions of sugar plums dancing in our heads. And there's another kind of vision we're not going to be talking about. I heard a story of a guy who, a friend of a friend, and they were about to eat a meal at their house, and they asked him if he would pray before their meal, and he asked God if they would forgive them of their sins and forgive them of the sins that they're going to commit in the future. That's also not the kind of vision we're talking about. Instead, we're going to get our text this afternoon from Genesis chapter 14 in the second 8 verses there. We're going to read a story about Abram's foresight as there's a warning that comes to him there. In Genesis chapter 14 and verse number 8, it says, "And there went out of the king of Sodom, and the king of Gomorrah, and the king of Admah, and the king of Zeboam, and the king of Bela, the same as Zoar, and they joined battle with them in the vale of Siddim, where Chedorlaomer, the king of Elam, and with Tidal, king of nations, and Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elasar, 4 kings with 5. And the vale of Siddim was full of Slamepits, and the king of Sodom and Gomorrah fled and fell there, and they that remained fled to the mountain." Doesn't matter how many times you read that, it doesn't get easier to read. In verse 11, it says, "And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went their way, and they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And there came one that had escaped, and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, and brother of Aner, and these were confederate with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people." Think about the foresight that Abram had here. How he was able to have that foresight, this vision, and what he did. Once he got that foresight, once he had that vision, once he had the sight, you know, he could tell something was going to happen. It says that one of them escaped, and they came to Abram, and they said, "Look, this bad thing's happened. They've taken your nephew. They've raided the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And they've stolen all this stuff." And they come and they warn him. And he has this foresight. He knows what needs to be done. And he doesn't waste any time. He doesn't, you know, beat around the bush. He does exactly what needs to be done. It says that he took his servants, he trained them, he armed them, and he went and he pursued those that were offending him, those that had kidnapped his nephew, that had stolen all the goods. He went after them. And he eliminated the threat. And a verse comes to mind when you think of this story. In Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 18. It says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. You know, this reminds me of a vision that men and women had in Allison, Texas, about 5 or 6 years ago or longer, to come to Wheeler and to build a church here so that we can grow. And since we've accomplished that, we've grown as a congregation, we've grown as individuals, and we've become stronger. All because of a vision that some people had 5 or 6 years ago. And you know, vision can do the same in Abraham's case. Vision can guard you from dangers that occur, from dangers that will happen. So I ask you this afternoon, what did Abraham's foresight allow? And there's three things that we're going to talk about this afternoon as we consider this topic and we consider how this applies to our life. To be proactive. That's the first thing that Abram did. He was proactive. He gathered a plan of action whenever he knew what was happening or what had gone on. He gathered a plan of action. Next, he acted on his plan. There's something that we're going to talk about called a SWOT analysis. See, I learned something in school, Mom. That's what we'll talk about. And then finally, we're going to talk about how to execute the plan. So when you think about being proactive, we go back to read about Abram. In verse 13, it says, "And there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt," and it says that, you know, they warned Abram. And so what a SWOT analysis is S-W-O-T, it's strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. That's something I've learned in business classes. I thought it was pretty cool the way it pertains to this. When you think about Abram being proactive, he thinks about his strengths and his weaknesses. His strengths is that, you know, someone's came and warned him. Someone has given him the knowledge, and now he has this foresight to gather a plan of action, to be proactive about what is going to happen in the future. They also, this being proactive gives Abram an opportunity to look over his weaknesses. You know, he looks around and he says, "I have no trained servants. I have no one to protect me. You know, what if these kings and these nations come after me next? What if I want to, you know, go and rescue like he did? He went and rescued his nephew Lot. He couldn't do that without being prepared. He couldn't do that without this foresight and without being proactive. Abram acts on the plan. In verse number 14 it says, "And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan." We see now where Abraham is looking over his opportunities. Now that he knows his strengths, he knows his weaknesses, and he sees the opportunity. He's acting on the plan. He can overcome these enemies with trained servants, with armed servants. He can overcome them. Something that we need to take into consideration, especially, is what this would have taken for Abram to do this. The resources that it would have caused him to spend, money, time. He no doubt was worried about this. He was concerned with what the future held. He was concerned with the dangers that these other kings held against him and against his family, against the other innocent people that they attacked and stole from. He trained 318 servants, and he also armed them. There's just no telling the cost that had in monetarily and otherwise. And finally, Abram executes the plan, which is the threats version of the SWOT analysis. He is able to look at the threats, the kings and the nations that took his nephew. He does that in verses 15 and 16. "And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people." The one thing that you learn in business class about a SWOT analysis is the most important thing to do is to act, and is to execute. You know, we can come up and we can think about our strengths and weaknesses all day long, but if we don't do anything about it, we've wasted our time. And Abram didn't waste his time. He looked through, found his strengths, found his weaknesses, and he acted on it, and he executed. And he was blessed in that. He gained back his nephew. He was able to get back the stolen goods and the problems. And as was mentioned before, he was up against kings. He was up against nations. He was up against many trained servants, many trained soldiers, and he trained his servants, and he armed them, and he went and he pursued these people, and he took out and he eliminated the threat, all because of foresight, and all because of vision, being able to see what was ahead of him and what needed to be done. So how can you apply this to your own spiritual life? We're going to look at the same three points. How can we be proactive? How can we act on our plan once we evaluate our strengths and weaknesses? How can we act on that? And how can we eliminate the threat? How can we execute our strategy? Again, in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 3, it says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. Is this not in a way what Abram did? He was able to foresee this evil. He saw what had happened, and he knows what he needs to go and do next. He's got his plan together. Here he goes. He's going to be proactive and act on it. We must do the same thing. You know, we read about the word prudence, and another verse that talks about prudence. Prudence is used more in the Old Testament than it is in the New Testament. It kind of means two different things. In the New Testament, it's got more of a negative meaning, but in the Old Testament, it shows a way of craftiness, of being very knowledgeable, of being very wise. And a wise man, a knowledgeable man will foresee evil, and he'll be able to prepare for that ahead of time. You know, I get to thinking about during the winter, especially when it's snowing and when there's ice and stuff, how we go and we feed hay to the cattle ahead of time so that we don't have to do that when it's icy, so that they're taken care of whenever we can't get to them. And we prepare. It takes a prudent man to prepare. It takes a prudent person and a prudent mindset with knowledge and wisdom to prepare for things that are going to happen in the future. The fact of the matter is that today we are in a battle. We're in a spiritual battle. You know, Abram was faced with a physical battle, with something that they had to physically go and fight. But today we are in a spiritual battle with ourselves and with sin and with the world. And if we know that's coming, if we know this is happening, if we know that it's inevitable, why don't we be proactive and try to act on the plan and execute the plan and eliminate the threat beforehand? In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 11, we're going to look at the armor of God here. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I bolded the word stand against, and I bolded, we're going to read the next 8 or 9 verses here. And just look at the language that we read in Ephesians chapter 6. The language that they use and the wording that they use, like stand against. Put on the armor of God that you may be able to. It doesn't say that you will. It says that you may be able to. This is looking forward. Put it on so that in the future you can stand the wiles of the devil. So that you have that capability when you need it. To stand against. To stand fast. In verse 12 it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now this is a way to be proactive, to gain these things, to put on the armor of God. If you know there's a spiritual battle, armor up. Put on the things that are going to defeat the enemy. Be proactive. So just think for a minute, what if Abram had not been proactive? What if the person who had escaped had come and said, look, they've got your nephew, they've got women and children, they've stolen all the goods. And he says, man, I really hope that doesn't happen to me. That'll be bad. And he knows it's coming. That would have been foolish. But Abram was prudent. He was prudent in knowing what needed to be done. Are you a prudent person? Are you a proactive person? Do you act proactively against the battles that you fight today? Do you try to take care of them and gather your plan beforehand? Before you get entangled in the problems? Do you put on the armor of God so that you can stand against, so that you can be able, so that you can withstand, so that you will be prepared? A verse that I really like there is verse 15. Your feet shod with preparation. When I think of vision, when I think of foresight, I think of wanting to move forward, of wanting to, like I said, just move forward. And I think of when you You shod your feet with preparation of the gospel so you can move forward with it. This is the strengths and weaknesses of the SWOT analysis. Are you proactive? Think about your strengths and think about your weaknesses so that you can be proactive in those and eliminate the threat beforehand. Once you've been proactive, once you see the plan that needs to be done, you got to act on your plan. It's the most important part. If you don't act on your plan, if you don't act on your strengths and weaknesses, then you've wasted your time. So why do you need the armor of God? A very interesting verse in Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse number 5 says, "If thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan?" You know, he's saying here, if you've been fighting with the guys on foot the same and you are worn out already, if you're already thinking you've handled all you can take, then what's it going to be like when the guys on horses come? What's going to happen when they show up? You're going to get whipped. We got to prepare for that. We got to act on our plan so that this doesn't happen. You know, have you ever felt like you were worn out before the heat of a battle? Anything? You know, I find every excuse I can to talk about basketball in high school. And I remember one of the last games I played was against Groom, a playoff game. And they had us down early. And we ended up coming back and winning that game. And we thought, man. And we had to play the number one team in the state after that. We thought, we're worn down from these guys. And look who's coming up next. And the same thing can happen in our spiritual lives. If we get run down with the footmen, then whenever the horses come, we're in trouble. And so I urge you this afternoon to be prepared for that. Be prepared for the horsemen. Don't be so fixated on the footmen that whenever the horses come, you get trodden down. And that's why we must put on the armor of God. As it reads there, we're not going to go over all these for time's sake, but it talks about the truth. It talks about righteousness, preparation of the gospel, faith, salvation, the Spirit, and the Word of God. We must put on the armor so that we can withstand, so we can stand against, so that we may be able to overcome the devil. Once again, think about the results had Abram not acted on his plan. What if he had thought, you know, I see the problem. I see they got my nephew. They've got all the goods. I know what I need to do. I need to train these servants. I need to arm these servants. I need to pursue these guys before they pursue me or before they do any more damage. What if he wouldn't have acted on that? I believe that would have been a much different outcome. And the same thing will happen to us if we don't act on our plan, if we don't act on our strengths and weaknesses, if we don't observe our opportunities off of our strengths and weaknesses. What opportunities do we have to grow? What opportunities do we have to gain in different areas? And finally, executing on our plan is the last part. In James chapter 4 and verse 17 says, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." You know, this is, you can't say any one part's more important than the other, but this is an extremely important part of executing our plan, acting on a plan, and having a plan. So many times we know what we need to do and we simply don't do it. We can see someone who's in need. We can see a job that needs to be done, someone who needs something, and we simply don't do it. Why is that? Why do we not do that? It's time to do that. It's time to execute on our plan. If we can tell that something needs to be done, it's time to do it right now. In Matthew 25 and verse number 1, read the first 9 verses there. We read the parable of the 10 virgins and how some of them were not prepared and how we need to be prepared. In verse 1 it says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. You know, I guess maybe just me personally, one of the worst things that someone can say about you is that you're foolish. That is just, that's the worst, is being foolish about something. You think about these five foolish virgins and how they were so unprepared. And they were there. I mean, they knew what needed to be done. They knew the opportunity that they had. They had a plan, and they didn't execute their plan. They ran out in the most crucial point of their plan. They failed. It was foolish. And we can't be the same way. We can't give up, and we can't lose right in the end when we're supposed to be executing. Romans 13 and 14 says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You know, a very important part of a vision is being prepared for that sin that's going to come your way. Being prepared and not making provision for the flesh. Not making a time when we think we can get away with a sin. Whenever we think we can commit sin. But to not make provisions for the flesh. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. An important part of executing a plan is to know that it's doable, that it's achievable, that we can do this. We can execute this plan. We know what needs to be done. Now let's go and let's do it. Let's see what we need to do. It must take vision. Luke 21 and verse 34 says, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares, for as a snare shall it come on all of them, that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Part I like about that verse is at the end of 34 when it says, and so that day come upon you unawares. You know, someone with vision, someone that's prudent and that can foresee, has that foresight and is always looking forward, things aren't going to come on them unawares. They're not going to be unprepared for things that happen because they can see it and they know what needs to be done. And finally, think about the results. Had Abraham not executed? So someone comes to him, they say, this is what needs to be done. Here's what's happened. He gets his plan together. He acts on his plan. What if he doesn't execute? You know, the execution was great by Abram and his servants. You know, like I said, they were going up against kingdoms, kings of different cities and nations. And he overcame. And by only one reason, because of his foresight, because of his preparedness, because of his vision, for what needed to be done. So do you follow through with things you know needs to be done? Or do you simply just not do them? Do you sit around and think, man, I need to get out my Bible and I need to study today. And you just simply let things get in the way of that. You know what needs to be done. You have your plan. You know what you're going to do. And then you simply don't execute. You don't do that. It's a terribly bad thing that happens in our spiritual lives day after day after day. We don't execute when we know what needs to be done. And that's the final part of the SWOT analysis, is the threats, taking out the threats, looking forward and seeing those threats and executing or eliminating by executing our plan. Finally, this afternoon, I want to talk about the danger of being blind. You know, we've talked about vision and foresight and how important that is and how we have to do that. But there's a very big danger that the Bible warns us about with being blind, with not seeing. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 9, it says, Ian read this last Sunday, it says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, godliness brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You know what makes it really hard to have vision and really hard to have foresight is if you're spiritually blind, if you can't see. And if we lack these things, this is much like the armor of God. If we lack these things, then we can't see. We don't know what's standing right in front of us. And as we're walking, as we're going through life and it comes at us, it's going to knock us flat because we can't see it. We're blind. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." The last thing Satan wants is for us to have foresight and for us to have vision and to see the things coming that he's going to throw at us. That's the last thing he wants, is to see the dangers. He wants us to be blind, and he makes us spiritually blind. And we allow it day after day. Of course, in Matthew chapter 15, it says, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. You know, before long, we're all falling into the ditch if we're all blind. If we start following each other when we're blind, it's just going to be a train wreck. Ephesians 4 says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. What it really boils down to, being blind, not having that foresight, not looking ahead for the dangers, not looking ahead at what needs to be done, is it takes us away from God. That's what it ultimately does. Being blind and not having that vision pulls us away from God. It alienates us. We don't even know who he is anymore when we don't look forward at what we need to be doing. So in conclusion, I'd like to urge you to have foresight and to have vision. Here's a few different things I've listed down there. We can obviously have vision in other aspects, but have vision for other people's shoes. That's one that we hear oftentimes. Have vision for what other people are seeing, what other people are going through. Have vision for the past. You know, if we can't learn from our mistakes, then, you know, we're going to make a lot of the same mistakes over and over again in the future that we did in the past. Have vision for the past. We read the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8. And he talks about those who received the word and who the devil came and took it away from him. And they didn't see that coming. They went on with joy. And then before long, the devil came and they swiped the word out of their heart. We got to have that vision for the present, for what's happening right now, right here. Especially we have to have that vision for the future, like Abram did, to be able to prepare for what's coming at us in the future. Especially we have to have vision for dangers. We have to put on the armor of God that we can stand, that we can be able to stand the wiles of the devil. And we need to keep in the forefront of our mind a vision and foresight for God's kingdom. What I think of is you see cartoons all the time of a horse or whatever with the carrot tied to their back on the stick and it's out in front of them. We got to keep that right in front of us so that we can keep working for that goal, for that one common goal, and we always keep moving because it's right there. We got to have vision for God's kingdom. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 1, it says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth." If we're really setting our affection on things above, on God's kingdom, then we'll be worried about what is to come in the future. The foresight that we have to have in the future, whether it be to overcome dangers like Abram did, to go out and to eliminate the threat, to gain a plan of action, to act on your plan and to eliminate the threat, to go and execute your plan, or whether it be spiritually. Either way, we have to have that vision. We have to have that foresight. We have to set our affections on things above.